Today, we're going to be thinking about an invitation that God gives to us. We are living in an age where access to information has never been as easy. Once upon a time, you'd have to travel to the public library to find information in books, but now at the flick of a switch, all we have to do is just turn on our computers or our smartphones or tablets, and we can obtain access to billions of terabytes of data, much of which is information. Now, every day, over 3 billion Google searches are made, and over 4 billion YouTube videos are watched. That's an incredible amount of information that is being exchanged. We can access tons of data at the click of a button. But how much of this information is information that accurately communicates the truth about God and his plan for the world? Now, I want you to imagine if Jesus owned a MacBook. Surfing the web, what would he see? And how much of the content on the web would he approve of? Now, there are many Christian-based websites on the net, but overall, I reckon that it's probably fair to say that godlessness swamps godliness many times over on the internet and in modern media such as movies, TV, or in the newspapers. I haven't been able to find out how many Christian websites exist overall, but a Google search for the term Christianity gives you 97 million pages to choose from in 0.2 of a second. Now, that might sound like a lot, but let's contrast that with something else. If you were to do a search for the word porn, for example, then you get 1.1 billion different pages in 0.14 of a second. Based on these figures, as a rough calculation, chances are you're 11 times more likely to find porn on the internet than anything to do with Christianity. Obviously, that's a guess figure. We don't know the exact number, but it's something that parents should at least keep in mind when allowing their children unrestricted access to the internet. But supply over time generally matches demand, doesn't it? We can also look at this issue by asking, what is the information that people are searching for on the web? Well, once again, accurate statistics are hard to come by, but a reputable website that tracks the keywords searched for over the last 48 hours had the top 500 search terms, and when I look through those top 500 terms, basically you've got keywords dominated by things relating to pornography and sex. In fact, out of the top 50 search terms, 30 were related to sex in some way or other. Now, sex is a good thing that was designed and created by God in the first place, but I think it's probably fair to say that most of the websites that are into things like pornography are not promoting the truth about God. What they're into is talking about a different way of life, and a way of life that isn't consistent with how God views sex and the purpose for why we've been created. Now, God's voice might seem to be overwhelmed by the mass of ungodly material of different types that's out there in public space, but it's not as if God is silent. God's word can also be heard. God's word is there, and he sends his prophets and preachers to proclaim his message. And in our passage from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, Solomon pictures the word of God in terms of a woman standing out in the public spaces. She's there crying out to all who pass by to take to heart what she's saying. And this woman's name is Wisdom, But for ease of reference, let's call her Sophie. Now, Sophie is short for Sophia, which means wisdom. Well, Sophie, what's she doing? Verse 20, we can see that she's calling out in the street. She's there in the public squares, speaking to people. In verse 21, we see her at the head of the bustling streets, communicating her words in the city gates to all who would pass by. Those people who are either going about their daily business or sitting down for a chat, she's wanting to engage them. But what's the content of her message? Well, the content of her message can be seen in verses 22 to 33, and basically it's a message of judgment. Judgment is going to come upon people because of a lack of repentance. And she cries out, "How long, O simpletons, will you love simplicity? How long, you fools, will you hate knowledge?" We can see from this question that what we need is true knowledge. We need to pursue information that accurately describes the true nature of our world and our place in it. And Sophie was unhappy that hardly anyone was listening to the wisdom that she could give them. The main content of Sophie's message can be seen in the first part of verse 23, which can probably best be translated something like, "Repent. Repent at my rebuke. Can't you hear what I'm saying to you? Turn around and get back to God." Sophie was calling upon people to turn back to God, to turn back to God and his instruction. She was calling upon people to get right with God, to start following the way of God's wisdom rather than plodding along the pathway of foolishness. And friends, this is the message of the gospel for each one of us. Turn back. You're going the wrong way. Turn back to God. That is the message of the gospel, which is addressed to the world at large. The gospel tells us that following the way of the world is the pathway that leads to destruction. The gospel tells us that the world is basically in rebellion against God. So following in the way of the world is to join in that rebellion. But this is exactly where God's word challenges us. God's word says to us, don't follow the crowd. Follow God. Don't live like everyone else lives, but live truly and eternally by following the instruction of God's word and spirit. Here Sophie basically symbolizes God and his prophets and preachers, standing out in public places, speaking forth the wisdom of God. It's an invitation that goes out into the world, calling upon people to leave behind their shifting human opinions and to base their lives firmly on the stable, unshifting word of God. It's an invitation that God has and is offering to each one of us here today. Leave behind your doubts. Leave behind your scorn. Leave behind all of that false human knowledge based on flimsy human thinking, and turn back to God and true knowledge that comes from him. God is calling upon each one of us here today to turn away from destructive and unhelpful human thoughts and to fill our heart and mind with truth, to move from ordinary human knowledge to extraordinary divine knowledge. Now, learning from God doesn't mean that the things we learn at school or university are necessarily useless. But it does mean that everything we learn elsewhere needs to be integrated into the bigger framework of what God teaches us. You know, in the end, who should we be listening to? We need to be listening to God, the one who made this universe. That makes sense, doesn't it? Or do you think that the ones we're to listen and to follow are the human teachers, the human decision makers, the people who create public opinion? They're all merely just preachers. They're not the creator. God is the one who is eternal. He is the one who is all-knowing. Human teachers are temporal and limited in their knowledge. Now, Sophie was keen to pour forth her spirit and to make her words known. But this could only happen if people were willing to repent, to give up all forms of human knowledge in order to pursue divine knowledge. Now, I acknowledge that at times we may wonder why God's voice seems so soft. Sometimes it's as if God's voice is inaudible, overwhelmed by the mass of false knowledge out there that dominates the airwaves and computer networks. But the wise person won't be distracted by all of the false knowledge which is out there. The wise person knows that in order to know anything with accuracy, we need to go to the expert, to the people who know. So you tell me, who's the person who's designed all of this? Who's the person who's planned all of this? Who's the one who's created all of this? Who's the one who directs all of this? It's God. God's the designer, planner, creator, and director. That means that if you want to know the meaning of the universe, then who should you turn to? We need to turn to God. When you want to know something and to know it truly, you go to the expert. And God is the expert when it comes to life in this universe. God knows how it works. He was the one who set it up in the first place. So we need to come to God. We need to turn to Him and pay attention to His instruction. Now, Sophie was keen for people to listen. But sadly, many rejected her invitation. This is reflected in verses 24 through to 33. From these verses, we see that Sophie's invitation also included the threat of judgment against those who would refuse her invitation. And she was basically saying to them, since I've been standing here such a long time, calling out, but you've refused, since I've been stretching out my hand trying to get your attention, but no one's paid any attention whatsoever, since you've rejected all of my advice and haven't been willing to accept my rebuke, I'm not going to be sad when the day of your distress arrives. Here we see that in the end, justice will be done. Now, it's true that God doesn't enjoy punishing people for rejecting Him, but justice demands that those who reject God and His message will be punished. They will get what they want. This is the sense in which God will sneer and mock when fearful judgment comes down against those who have rejected Him. Sophie tells us the destruction is coming like a storm, like a Category 5 cyclone with wind speeds greater than 200 kilometres an hour. When the day of judgment comes, people will cry out to Sophie for help, but it will be too late. The RSVP by date will already have passed, and Sophie will no longer answer them. There is going to be a time of judgment. And when judgment comes, people will know what's happening. They will realise they've made a mistake. And in that moment of panic, they will seek to turn back to God. But it will be too late. In verses 29 through to 31, Sophie tells us that basically in the end, if you hate knowledge, if you don't fear the Lord, if you're not prepared to listen to God's wisdom, if you spurn His instruction, then all of that will lead to you eating the fruit of your way of life. Plant bananas, you have to eat bananas. Plant tomatoes, you have to eat tomatoes. Sow the seeds of ungodliness and you'll reap what you've sown. You've wanted to live your life as if God doesn't matter, as if His word isn't important. Well, in the end, God will fulfill your dreams by letting you experience eternity without His compassion and love. Turning away from God to follow the simple so-called wisdom of the world will kill you. That's what Sophie's telling us. It'll kill you. Ignoring the wisdom of God to follow the thinking of fools will destroy you. To give up on God and His word is therefore basically to commit suicide. Without God's word in your life, you will die. But verse 33 tells us, the person who listens to God will dwell securely and will live safe and sound, free from the fear of calamity and judgment. Friends, it was the word of God that brought our universe to life in the first place. And it's the word of God that can grant us satisfaction and security today. Now, overall, when we think about the information age that we live in today, we do have to say that in this world of ideas, it's a competitive marketplace. Turn on your computer, surf the web, you'll see many different options out there. All sorts of weird things are possible. Things that were once considered to be unimaginable, well, these things now are a reality for some people. But in the midst of this information overload, who are you going to listen to? Whose instruction are you going to take to heart? Friends, God is reminding each one of us here today that we need to turn back to Him. Each one of us here today needs to listen to God and His word. Without repentance, without turning back to Him, there's really only a few moments of delusion before destruction. What will you do, therefore, with Sophie's invitation? Will you listen to God and His wisdom? Or will you reject it? The warning that Sophie gives to us today is that we only reject it at our peril.